Hello, everybody. Welcome to the MTG Place podcast. I'm your host, Corey, and with me, like always, is James. How's it going, James?
Doing good. How are y'all doing?
I'm doing pretty good. We had Easter brunch last weekend. That was pretty good.
Sounds good to me.
Did you have good food for Easter, too?
Yeah. I got to be with the family and all that stuff. Got to eat a bunch of candy. So, it's all good stuff, right? Yep.
All right, so today we are going to be talking about the Commander cards from March of the Machines, March of the Machines Commander set. And just the cards that are not reprints and the cards that are rare mythic. We can always dig us all day.
Yeah, forever.
But before we get to that, we got a couple things to say here. The first one is, if you want to buy any of these cards or anything, go to TCG Player using our affiliate link, and it helps support our content. Lets them know we sent you over there, and we really appreciate it. It helps us out. Second way you can support us is directly on Patreon. You can sign up there. You can play Commander games with us and all sorts of other cool perks. You can also just sign up right in the Discord if you'd rather do that. And if you forget any of these links or anything, you can find them all on mtgplace.net. Has all of our links to our content, podcast, all of the ways to support us. Everything's on there. Social medias are on there, too. And last thing is congratulations to Omega Chris, who won the drawing from our Commander Knights video. So we're going to be sending him the winning Commander card in the mail. Not nice. To spoil anything, but go watch it if you want to see what that was.
Hell yeah.
And all right, James, so let's get started away with this set review.
All right, so we'll be doing Wilburg order as normal. First one is Chivalric Alliance. It is one and a white for an enchantment. Whenever you attack with two or more creatures, draw a card. And then it also has pay two, discard a card, create a 2/2 white and blue knight creature token with vigilance.
So it seems really good for white card draw, right?
Yeah, it does.
Like two mana, just swing with two things, draw a card.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And then even creating a token for that cheap is not bad either, honestly.
Yeah, just white and blue knights for two mana, discard a card. It's pretty sweet.
It's pretty good.
I'd probably play this in most white decks, assuming it's a creature-based deck.
Yeah, honestly, any kind of white-based creature deck, I think this would be pretty good for sure.
Next up, we got Conjurer's Mantle. It is one and a white for an artifact equipment. The equipped creature gets +1/+1 and has a vigilance. Whenever equipped creature attacks, look at the top six cards of your library. You may reveal a card that shares a creature type with that creature from among them and put it into your hand. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. And the equip cost is just one mana.
Wow. That's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, 1/1 vigilance, and obviously, you're going to want to play this in like a tribal deck to get the most value.
Yeah, this is definitely a tribal card.
This probably comes in like the white blue knights commander deck.
Makes sense. Yeah, it looks really good. Really cheap, which is what you want for a deck like that. So it has pretty good value, it looks like. So
yeah. Like +1/+1 vigilance and card selection that gets you a card in your hand as long as it's a creature. It's pretty good. I mean, top six, you're probably going to argue.
I would think so. Any creature-based deck, especially. All right. Next up, we got Darksteel Splicer. It is six and a white for a 1/1 Phyrexian Artificer creature. Whenever Darksteel Splicer or another non-token Phyrexian enters the battlefield under your control, create X33 colorless Phyrexian Golem artifact creature tokens, where X is the number of opponents you have. Golems you control have indestructible.
Yeah, so this is really good in a Phyrexian like tribal deck, or B, in a deck you create a bunch of golems, like with Blade Splicer and Precursor Golem and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it makes them all indestructible.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty hard for them to deal with.
I mean, but this is kind of a lot. You just ramp. It's like 7 for a 1/1 that puts like 3 3/3s into play. So I guess overall it ends up being like 7 for what? A 10/10?
Yeah, which isn't split up bad between four for sure. Creatures. Definitely not a bad trade, I'd say.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
Yeah, and you have like kind of the indestructibility tax going with it too. So
right,
that's definitely not bad. But
it's really good if you could cheat it. Really good if you could cheat it.
Yeah, this is a card. Oh man, if you could cheat it,
or if you could just sit and blink it.
Yeah, an ETB deck. This could be pretty good. For sure. There's a way to have some fun with that.
Next up, we got Elspeth's Talent. 2 white-white for an enchantment aura that enchants a planeswalker. This is like the first, I think there's one for every color in here. So it enchants a planeswalker. Enchanted planeswalker has +1, create 3 1/1 white soldier creature tokens. And whenever you activate a loyalty ability of enchanted planeswalker, creatures you control get +2/+2 in vigilance until end of turn.
Oh, jeez.
So this is giving you like the +1 ability from the good Elspeth to make 3 1/1s. But then when you use it, you also buff everything 2/2 and give them vigilance for the round.
Yeah, that seems very good.
Yeah, it seems really good. Especially if you have like a cheap planeswalker out.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just like played like Gideon or something that you're like something that you're just like, I don't really want to use the +1 or the abilities on this anyway. Or if you have one of those planeswalkers that only have minuses.
Yep.
Like with the static and the minuses, you could put this on it and just like, oh, now I have a +1. Make some tokens.
Make dudes. Why not?
But you'd have to have quite a few planeswalkers in your deck to want to play this because this is just a dead card in your hand if you draw it otherwise.
Yeah, you'd be pretty sad, honestly. So this is for like super friends.
Or if you could even play it if you have like, you know, 4 or 5-ish planeswalkers, but you'd want like some looting effects or something.
So yeah, you definitely want to be able to find them for sure. Or get rid of this if it's not relevant. But yeah, interesting to see a new mechanic like this. So next, we have Excise the Imperfect. It is 1 white-white for an instant card. Exile target non-land permanent. Its controller incubates X, where X is the mana value. So that's a lot of dudes.
Yeah.
Or a big dude, rather.
One dude that's big.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of like what would this be doing? I mean, because you could get rid of like Blightsteel with this, so then you wouldn't die, but then they have a like 10/10 or 11/11 or whatever.
Yeah.
But then you have to pick 2 mana to flip it into.
That's.
I feel like it's not bad. Like it's instant speed removal, you know, for 3. I mean, it's still not as good as like Path or Swords, but it's not like.
Yeah. The worst.
I mean, you could do it to yourself too if you just want to shitload a big token or something.
Mm-hmm.
It seems okay. Yeah,
and it's an interesting removal card for sure.
It just seems okay to me because, like, you're still going to need another removal if you use it on an opponent's thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's pretty good if you exile like an enchantment or something or an artifact that's really annoying.
Yeah, because something
like if they have like. The Darksteel Forge or whatever that makes everything indestructible. You're like, all right, get rid of that. Like, because then you don't really care if they get a 9/9 because you just blow up the board after.
Right.
Like,
because then you can blow up the board.
So it's mediocre. I wouldn't be surprised if we see it.
Yeah, we'll probably see at least a little bit.
Next up, we got the Filigree Vector, 3 and a white for a 1/1 artifact creature Phyrexian Construct. When Filigree Vector enters the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on each of any number of target creatures and a charge counter on each of any number target artifacts. And then you can pay 1, tap it, sack another artifact to proliferate. Mm. So it seems good if you have artifacts with charge counters or like a 1/1 counters deck.
Yeah, like modular or something like that.
You probably want at least 3 things out though, right? Before this becomes really good.
Yeah.
Because, like, 4 mana for a 1/1, like, you're going to want to put, like, Well, I guess it's a 2-2 because you can put one on itself when it enters. But yeah. Like, you want to put at least like one other thing on a couple of things.
This was like a blink deck that could be pretty good too. Like,
yeah, this would be good with a blink deck.
With like artifacts and creatures. Because then you could just keep doing it.
Yeah, or just like artifacts that are easy to sack to keep proliferating too.
Yeah, the proliferation is definitely nice. So yeah, in the right scenario, this card can be pretty good, I think, for sure.
Definitely have to build around it though.
Yeah, it's the, this
like
is
by definitely itself. By itself, it's just like okay.
Yeah, 4/4 is pretty sad. Well, I guess a 2/2 with the thing.
Yeah, 2/2 with the ability. It's like whatever. Yeah,
it's like eh. Next we got Fireman Commando. It is 3 and a white for a 4/3 Angel Soldier creature with flying. Whenever you attack with 2 or more creatures, draw a card. Whenever another player attacks with 2 or more creatures, they draw a card if none of those creatures attacked you. Ooh, okay. So I got a little politics here.
Yeah, it seems pretty good. I mean, it's like that enchantment that costs 2 that lets you draw a card whenever you attack with 2 or more. Except for it also incentivizes other people to not attack you, and you get a 4/3 flyer out of the deal.
Yeah, that's not bad. So you have you get the same card draw effect, but then they also have a deterrent from attacking you. So it's definitely not bad.
Next up, we got Guardian Scale Lord. 4 and a white for a dragon with backup, which is when this creature enters the battlefield, you put a +1/+1 counter to a creature. If that's another creature, it gains the following abilities until end of turn. It's a 3/4 dragon. And the abilities you would get with the backup is flying. And whenever this creature attacks, return target non-land permanent card with mana value X or less from your graveyard to the battlefield, where X is this creature's power. So you can give that to one of your other creatures for a turn with a 1/1 counter, or you can put it on yourself to make this a 4/5.
Right. Yeah, interesting, for sure. So you're just returning something?
Yeah, I mean, but you're also giving something flying, and when it attacks,
yeah, you get something. Yeah, and the flying is also nice.
It's kind of like a, like, I mean, just by itself, it's a better Grave Titan.
Yeah.
Because it's a, like, 5 mana 3/4 flyer that gets you something, a 3 or less back whenever you attack, which is the same thing as Grave Titan. And you can put it on something bigger, like if you have, like, a 5/5 or 4/4 out. Or not, what was, did I say Grave Titan? I mean Sun Titan.
Sun Titan, yeah. Yeah. Grave Titan is the one that makes 2. So.
Or can you imagine if you back up on the Sun Titan, yeah, and then you attack, for the first turn you attack, you're going to get a 3 permanent and a 7 permanent back?
Yeah, that seems good. Like, damn. That's like
the dream scenario, right?
Yeah, yeah, it really is. Yeah, so in their right, like, again, this is kind of how some of these cards are. Like, built in the right deck, like, this could be pretty powerful for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely want non-land permanents that are, you know, 3/4 or less. I mean, yeah. But I guess you could even play this in, like, just a dragon deck, because then you could swing with the other dragon and get a dragon back. But then you wouldn't have anything to get after that, really.
Yeah.
So it's not the worst. Like, it's pretty good. You could play it in quite a bit of decks, I think.
Yeah. It's a little versatile for sure. I mean, bringing stuff back is always good, just as long as you have something to hit. It's kind of what it comes down to. Next, we got Nesting Dovehawk. It is 3 and a white for a 2/2 bird creature with flying. At the beginning of combat on your turn, populate. Ooh, that's an older one. So that's create a token that's a copy of a creature token you control from, that's back from, like, what was it, Ravnica, I think is what that was from?
Yeah, Return to Ravnica.
And then whenever a creature token enters the battlefield under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on Nesting Dovehawk.
Yeah, so this seems really good in that Rhino deck that populates whenever you get the Rhino attacks, it makes a Rhino or whatever. And then with this, you would just, at the beginning of combat, also be able to make another rhino and then put a 1-1 count on this, and then make another rhino. I mean, or if you have that land that turns into an 8-8 token, you could populate that. Or if you play the Desolation Twin, you could populate the 10-10 that makes.
Yeah. So. Lots of options for this for sure.
And the bottom ability triggers just in any token enters. So if you just have a token deck, you could put this in. Any single time you're making a boatload of tokens, you're going to get a bunch of counters on this.
It gets a bunch of plus one counters.
So if you're just like, oh, white sun zenith for 5 after this comes in, I'm going to make this a 7-7 flyer. I should be an 8-8 because then on combat you get another one.
Yeah. Definitely not bad.
Definitely seems it has some like combo potential for token decks. Yeah, does cost 4, which is a little powerful. Expensive for a 2-2 flyer, but it can get really big. Like it's probably it's gonna be one of those like kill on sight guards.
In the right deck, this that doesn't matter. Like this is gonna do a lot.
Next up, we got Path of the Ghost Hunter. It is X 1 and a white for a sorcery to create X 1/1 white spirit creature tokens with flying. And then, because these commander decks come with the Plane Chase cards, if you're playing Plane Chase, you'll get to do the Will of the Planeswalkers. So starting with you, each player votes for Planeswalker Chaos. If Planeswalk gets more votes, you Planeswalk. If Chaos gets more votes or the vote is tied, Chaos ensues, which means you get the Chaos effect of the plane.
Ah, yes. Good old Plane Chase.
Yeah, so it's good. It's good if you're playing Plane Chase. It's really good, right? If you're not playing Plane Chase, it's still good because it's X 1 and a white to make X 1/1 flyers, which is still playable.
1/1 flyers is very good for tokens. So you'd be able to block basically anything. And then if you have a deck that can pump them, or if you have like a doubling season out or something like that, like this can just give you an ass ton of stuff. So.
Yeah, this is definitely a good card. This is one of those cards that you would play in like every deck, any token deck. That's white. And then if you happen to be playing Plane Chase, even better.
Yeah, just very good. Next up, we got Vulpine Harvester. It is 3 and a white for a 3/3 Phyrexian Fox creature. Whenever one or more Phyrexians you control attack, return target artifact card from your graveyard to the battlefield if its mana value is less than or equal to their total power.
That seems really good.
It doesn't. Yep. Sure does.
I mean, you do need Phyrexian creatures and artifacts, though.
Yeah, and they have to be bigger Phyrexians than the mana cost.
I mean, not really, because I mean, like you have just this attack, so you can get back like your Sol Ring if someone blew it up or a mana rock.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, if you have a bunch of them, you can get some big artifacts back.
Yeah, especially if you're like sacking them away for some reason, like some of those cards we saw earlier, maybe.
Yep. Or you could combo wombo this with like Maskwood Nexus, and then all of your creatures are Phyrexians.
Yeah, that works too.
Then you just put it in any artifact deck.
Beautiful.
Next up, we got Wand of the World Soul. It is 2 and a white for an artifact that enters the battlefield tapped and has tap at a white. It also has tap. The next spell you cast this turn has Convoke.
Ooh.
So 3 mana rock that enters tapped. Don't really care for that part, but the Convoke part is super sweet.
The Convoke part's very nice. Especially if you're playing it with a creature-based deck. This can do silly things.
Right, and it makes any spell you cast have Convoke. So like you could just play... Like just having this and like some untapped creatures, you can like threaten removal even if your mana's tapped out.
Yeah, which is really good.
Yeah, so like I definitely would play this... In mono white for sure, because like they don't have a ton of like mana rocks anyway. And then any like creature based deck, you would want to consider it if you want the Convoke ability.
Yep. Very good for that. I mean, yeah, for just the mana rock ability, it's like, eh. But yeah, that Convoke ability is really nice.
And then if for some reason you have untappers in your deck, then this becomes just like busted.
Yeah. So busted.
Like just, oh, untap this, get Kavok. Untap this, get Kavok. Untap this, get Kavok.
Based on his
or just add the mana.
Everything for free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just tap my creatures. Now untap all my creatures. This could be really good actually in like green white, like the untap abilities. Like what is that? Seaborn Muse and stuff?
Seaborn Muse. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just dirty. You always basically have mana up then.
Yeah, or then there's the one that untaps all your lands. So you can tap your lands for mana and then untap all your lands and then still cast them. It's pretty good.
Very, very good. Well, that is white. So what do you think about white here?
I think white looks pretty good. I like this one out of the World Soul. The more I look at it, the more I like it.
Yeah. That having that Convoke ability on like anything is very good for sure.
Yeah, Convoke is an underrated ability. It's very powerful.
It really is. Used in a creature based deck, yeah, it's quite good. All right, so we are on to blue. So our first blue card is Deluxe Dragster. It is 4 and a blue for a 4/3 vehicle artifact that's a vehicle. Deluxe Dragster can't be blocked except by vehicles. Whenever Deluxe Dragster deals combat damage to a player, you may cast target instant or sorcery card from that player's graveyard without paying its mana cost. If that spell would be put into your graveyard, exile it instead, and it has crew of 2.
So, first of all, the artwork, this looks like it's from New Capenna.
Yeah, it does.
Which it could be, because like every plane is fighting this war.
Mm-hmm.
So you deal damage to a player. You got to crew it for 2, which is whatever. Can't really be blocked unless they have a vehicle as well. Deal combat damage and cast any instant sorcery card from their graveyard without paying its mana cost. It seems really good, right? Like, they just cast Expropriate. Let me cast one.
Yeah, I want that.
Oh, they took a couple extra turns and didn't win the game? Let me do that.
I'm going to win. Yeah, let me win the game now. Yep, seems silly.
It definitely depends what they have, though. I mean, like, because like, it could just be like, okay, there's nothing good. Then it's like, okay, 5 mana, 4/3.
Whatever. Yeah.
It's unblockable. It's okay. But still a pretty good floor, though.
Yep.
Like 4 mana, 4, or 5 mana, 4/3 unblockable is like not that bad.
Yeah, it's pretty decent.
Next up, we got the Herald of Hoofbeats. It's 3 and a blue for a 3/3 human knight with horsemanship, which means it can't be blocked except by other creatures with horsemanship. And other knights, all other knights you control have horsemanship.
What the f- okay.
So you're just going to make your board, your knight board, unblockable. Unless
back to like freaking, what was this, like freaking.
I think it's like Legends.
Legends or some shit, like, yeah.
It's like, oh, unless someone's playing that card in their deck, because some people do play that blue card from Legends that gives all your creatures horsemanship.
That's kind of
funny. But 99% of the time, this is going to be play this, all your knights are unblockable.
They're just unblockable. Good luck. Seems good.
Seems really good in a knight tribal deck, but outside of a knight tribal deck, I don't think you play this because like it's 4 for a 3/3. I mean, unless your commander's a knight, then maybe you would play it in there because like 4 for a 3/3 that's unblockable.
Sweet, sweet
and
commander damage.
Gives your commander unblockable is okay.
Yeah. Definitely for sure.
It's definitely interesting to see the return of horsemanship.
Yeah, horsemanship. That was not a keyword I was planning on expecting to see here. So, alrighty then. next is Path of the Enigma. It is 4 and a blue for a sorcery. Target player draws 4 cards, and then this is another Plane Chase card as well. So you have, if you're playing Plane Chase, you also have Will of the Planeswalker ability of starting with you, each player votes for Planeswalk or Chaos. If Planeswalk gets more votes, Planeswalk. If Chaos gets more votes or the vote is tied, Chaos ensues.
Okay, so if you're playing Plane Chase, Definitely would play this.
Yep.
If you're not playing Plane Chase, how good is 5-mana draw 4?
It's not bad. There's other cards that are maybe better, though.
It's not bad. It's not, like, it is sorcery speed, not instant.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of other 5-mana draw spells. I mean, usually if you can get about 1 for 1 on a card, you're good. Pretty, and this is technically, like, 1.2 for a card, or 1.25 mana for a card. So that's pretty good. Because, like, I mean, if you Divination, it's, you know, 3 mana, 2 cards. So
yeah.
This is better than 2 Divinations.
Right.
It's probably playable. So it's not bad. There's a lot of other effects that do the draw cards, so you'd have to look. Like, this would be like the one of the lower ones on my list, probably, to add.
Yeah.
But if I had room for it, I'd play it.
But if you're playing Plane Chase, you would definitely add this.
Yeah, if I was playing play, if our group plays Plane Chase every time, or if I just wanted a deck to only play when we put Plane Chase, I would definitely put it in.
Yeah, for sure.
Next up, we got Schema Thief. It's 3 and a blue for a 3/3 Videlkin Rogue Artificer with flying. And when it deals combat damage to a player, create a token that's a copy of target artifact that player controls.
Ooh.
That seems really good.
That does seem really good.
Let me hit you with this flyer and then make a copy of even your Solring or Mana Rocks.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, even if they're not playing, like, an artifact-based deck, basically every commander deck is going to have rocks, is going to have that, you know, something that is like utility that's helpful, like even like Top, for example.
Right. Like, so you're going to hit something most of the time.
Yeah. So it's definitely not bad. And 4/4, 3/3 of flying, still not terrible. So yeah.
I'd play it.
Yeah. If you're playing blue, this is an easy add, I think.
Definitely could add it in the Rogue stack, too.
Yeah.
Like the Rogue Tribal, it's pretty cool. Or if you have a friend that plays an artifact deck, just put this in against them.
Yeah, this is artifact. Definitely artifact hate, for sure. and then our last blue card is Teferi's Talent. It is 3 blue-blue for an enchantment. It's an aura, and it's an enchant planeswalker. Enchanted Planeswalker has it's a minus 12 ability. Jesus. So Enchanted Planeswalker has minus 12. You get an emblem with, you may activate loyalty abilities of planeswalkers you control on any player's turn anytime you can cast an instant. Whenever you draw a card, put a loyalty counter on Enchanted Planeswalker.
Yeah, so basically you get the static ability of the two Teferis. The one Teferi that puts a counter on it whenever you draw, and the other one that you could use on every player's turn. You can get that ability if you have minus 12.
Yep.
Again, this seems really good in a Planeswalker deck. Don't know if you played outside of that. It does cost 5 mana. I prefer the Elspeth one, but this one is good, especially in blue, because you draw a lot of cards. So,
yeah,
because you could draw like 6 and then probably be able to activate this right away.
You can really just absolutely pump up your planeswalkers.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you put this on like Nico Bolas, Nico Bolas is getting a boatload of counters, and then I'm gonna minus 12. Now I can Nico Bolas on everyone's turn, which is like destroy something. That's like GG scenario. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same with like Ugin. Like bolt something.
It's like whatever. right.
I think blue is pretty good.
Blue. Blue's got some good stuff for sure. That vehicle's pretty decent. The horsemanship thing's just interesting.
I like the rogue is pretty good too.
Yeah, definitely. All right, your color.
All right, now we're on to black. All right, we got a new Titan here. Let's go.
Yeah,
Light Titan, four black for a 6/6 Phyrexian Giant with Death Touch. Whenever Blight Titan enters the battlefield or attacks, mill two cards, then incubate X, where X is the number of creature cards in your graveyard.
Ooh. That was like probably going to get big real quick.
Yeah, so it has some nice self-mill for the decks that synergize with that. It has Death Touch, like the Grave Titan. And it makes one big token instead of like two small tokens.
Yep.
The only downside
is Grave Titan's like, what, 2/2s or something like that?
Yeah, 2/2 zombies. The only difference is you have to pay 2 mana to make the tokens into creatures. But if you have some way of just sacking your artifacts for mana or something, then that's good.
Like Ashnod's or some shit. Like, you're good to go.
Yeah, the one that sacks artifacts for mana was like KCI.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I could see this being really good. I mean, it's a Titan. What do you want?
It's good, and it's a Phyrexian one.
Yeah, that's cool to see for sure. Next, we got Exsanguinator Calvary. It is 2 and a black for a 2/3 Vampire Knight creature with Menace and Lifelink. Whenever a knight you control deals combat damage to a player, put a +1/+1 counter on that creature and create a blood token. So that's it's an artifact with tap 1 and tap it, discard a card, sacrifice this artifact, draw a card.
Yeah, I think those were in like Crimson Vow.
Yeah.
Something like that. It's kind of weird that the knight deals damage to give you a 1/1 counter and a blood token, which is like a vampire thing.
Yeah, it is.
I wish it was knight or vampire, so you could put this in a vampire tribal deck instead of just a knight tribal. But it's still good.
But you still have the two keywords, but yeah, it only synergizes.
Yeah, and you still have a 2/3 menace lifelink that does it itself. Like, still good. So you could still play this in a vampire tribal deck, and maybe there's another vampire knight in there.
I'm pretty sure there's a couple.
Yeah. It still seems pretty good. Like 3 for a 2/3 menace lifelink I'd consider playing, like.
Right.
Especially for like keywords matters decks.
Yeah.
I think it's a solid card. I'd play it definitely in Knight Tribal, consider it in vampire decks, and consider it in just like keyword decks. Next up, we got Infernal Sovereign, 4 black for a 6/6 demon with flying and trample. Skip your draw step. Whenever you play a land or cast a spell, draw a card and lose a life.
So that's kind of like Braids? Is that kind of what Braids does?
No, Braids is like sack a bunch of shit.
No, okay.
It's like that one where you, I can't remember what it's called, but you put it in, everyone, nobody draws and everyone pays 3 life and searches on their turn for a card.
Oh, yeah.
Or what's the other card? The Necropotence? Where you just pay life to draw cards. You don't draw.
Yeah, you just don't draw.
So it seems pretty good.
Based on your life.
It seems pretty good, but obviously this is a horrible card to play if it's the only card in your hand. But
yeah, that'd be really
bad. So you need at least hold one other card in your hand before you play this. So. Or don't
flying have trample. Or something. Flying trample 6/6 is not bad for sure.
Yeah, for 6.
For 6.
And just drawing a card whenever you play something is good.
Yeah.
Especially when you play a land. Like.
Yeah. Like as long as you have a hand to support this, this can be actually pretty good. For sure.
Draw a bunch of cards. It's a big demon.
Yeah, big boy.
You definitely cheat this in a Kalia deck.
That'd be gross. Yeah. And then we have our black Planeswalker enchantment. This is Liliana's Talent. It is black for an aura enchantment, enchant Planeswalker. Enchanted Planeswalker has -8.
Yeah.
It's really hard to read that. -8, put all creature cards from all graveyards out of the battlefield under your control. And then it has whenever a creature deals damage to Enchanted Planeswalker, destroy that creature. So, yeah, that's basically the OG Liliana right there.
Yeah, so it's like, I think it's good because it only costs two blacks. So you put this on your Planeswalker.
It's really cheap.
And it's like, all right, because most people love to attack Planeswalkers. So at least if they attack and kill it, you're blowing up the creatures that killed it.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I think that's the good scenario. If you do happen to get to the minus eight, you just win the game, basically.
Yeah, it's just a win time at that point.
Like, so I think this one's really good. This might be the better one of the better ones we've seen.
This is definitely a really good one, for sure.
Next up, we got Lockthwain Lancer. 4 and a black for a 5/5 human knight with menace. Whenever a non-token knight you control dies, each opponent loses one life, and you draw a card. So you don't lose the life, your opponents lose the life, and you draw a card.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good, especially in Knight Tribal.
Yeah, Knight Tribal.
5/5 with menace.
5/5 menace. Per error to deal with. Yep. Love to see it.
It's also nice because if they like board wipe or something, you're still going to be like, okay, you all lose a bunch of life and I draw a bunch of cards.
Yeah. Like, no matter what, you basically win. So, yeah.
I mean, like, unless they just kill the this scenario. First. It's like, okay.
Yeah. Like, they have to like remove it and then board wipe or something.
Yeah.
Which is not ideal for sure. So, or if they do just board wipe, then yeah, you get a nice payout. So, exactly. And our last one here is Path of the Schemer. It is 4 and a black for a sorcery. Each player mills 2 cards. Then you put a creature card from a graveyard onto the battlefield under your control. It's an artifact in addition to its other types. And then it has, if you're playing Plane Chase, it has Will of Planeswalkers starting with you. Each player votes for Planeswalk or Chaos. If Planeswalk gets more votes, Planeswalk. If Chaos gets more votes or the vote is tied, Chaos ensues.
So definitely, again, definitely for sure playing it in a Plane Chase, if you play Plane Chase a lot. Yeah. I mean, the returning a creature from everyone's graveyard is good. Like, 5 mana to do that. Because, like, if you play Rise from the Graves, you only get 1. Like, this gives you 1 from everyone's graveyard.
Exactly.
And if for some reason someone doesn't...
right?
Yeah, and if for some reason someone doesn't have a graveyard, it does mill 2 cards, so you have a chance of hitting one.
Yeah. So you're almost guaranteed to hit something.
Yeah, you're at least going to hit something. It's even better if you play it later in the game because there's definitely stuff in there.
So. Yeah, then you're hopefully going to hit something good.
I think this is good. I play this a lot in a lot of decks, but that's because I like reanimate spells. So
this is a pretty worthwhile one for sure.
Yeah, especially if you're going to pay 5 mana, you want it to be good. This is getting you at least 3 creatures. So
yeah,
maybe 4.
Depending on
it's put a creature card. I guess you're getting 1 no matter what.
It's not
from graveyard. So you just take the best one from someone's graveyard. It's still
okay. So it is basically a Rise from the Grave then. Okay.
Yeah, it basically is a Rise from the Grave. Except for you get the mill on top of it. I'd still play it if you into that effect.
Yeah. Well, and that is black.
I think black's pretty good. I'd play every one of those cards.
Yeah. Black's got a lot going for it here, really. A lot of good stuff. It's probably got one of the best Planeswalker enchantments here, so definitely good.
All right, now on to red here. We got Dance with Calamity. Whoops. Dance with Calamity. 7 and a red for a sorcery. Shuffle your library as many times as you choose. You may exile the top card of your library. If the total mana value of the cards exiled this way is 13 or less, you may cast any number of spells from among those cards without paying your mana cost.
Okay.
And the interesting thing with this is it's as many times as you want, right? So you can exile a top card. It's a 5-drop. Okay, I'm going to keep going. Yeah. Exile the top card. So it's another 5-drop. Okay, I have 10 mana worth of stuff. I can stop there and cast them both for free. Or risk it and see if it's 3 or less.
Yeah.
Or you can also combo this with like Thassa's Oracle and just do it your entire deck. Don't cast anything, but your whole deck's milled and then you Thassa's Oracle win.
And just win, yeah.
And that would be a 10 mana play to just win the game.
Yeah. Definitely not bad.
So, definitely a lot of combo potential with this. I feel like more people are more likely to play it with that combo potential to just draw your deck out.
Yeah. It's a really easy way to do it.
Because otherwise you're paying 8 mana for like 13 mana worth of stuff, which is, it could be a 5 mana bump, but like you might stop and get to like 9 or 10, and then it's like a
3
mana bump, and it's like, was that worth it? So
yeah, it's not so much. All right, next we got Death Greeter's Champion. It is 2 and a red for a 2/1 human warrior creature with dash, which is pay 3 and a red. Dash, pay 3 and a red. You may cast this spell for its dash cost. If you do, it gains haste and it's returned from the battlefield to its owner's hand at the beginning of the next end step. And then it also has backup 1, and it also has double strike.
Yeah, so you could play this, put backup 1 on something and double strike, or you could dash it, backup 1, double strike to something, and then it returns to your hand and you can keep doing that.
Just do it again, yeah.
And keep giving things up on someone's counter and double strike for a turn.
It's definitely nice.
It's definitely pretty good. Like, would you pay 4 mana to give something to pull someone double strike?
It's a little expensive for the stats.
But it's a plus one counter.
Yeah. It's true. It does stack.
So stay. And if they don't have any blockers, you can also attack with this because it gets hazed for 4 damage.
Right, yeah.
I think it's pretty good.
It's
pretty
not good, bad.
Repeatable human warrior.
Right.
It's definitely an interesting card. I feel like you would most likely dash it unless you just don't have the mana. Just because it seems better to be able to just haste it and put it back and then keep doing it.
Yeah.
I feel like that's where the value is to be able to keep doing it versus just playing it out the one time.
Yeah. Get an extra backup value then. Double strike's a nice ability, so.
Yeah, double strike's crazy good.
Yeah.
Next up, we got Hedron Detonator. It's 2 and a red for a 2/3 Goblin Artificer. When an artifact enters the battlefield under your control, Hedron Detonator deals 1 damage to target opponent. Sacrifice 2 artifacts, exile a top card of your library. You may play that card this turn. Okay, this is bonkers, right?
Yeah, that's really fucking good.
you could just play like a Cheerios deck, and then this wins you the game.
Just keep going off, man.
Yeah. This thing is going to be nuts, especially any sort of like cheap artifacts deck.
This is any artifact, too. That includes tokens.
Yep.
So all the clues, all the mana rocks, all of the lotus petals, whatever treasure the fuck tokens, else you want. Whatever, treasure tokens. Yeah, just gross.
Disgusting. And then if you happen to, draw land or something, you're like, okay, sack 2 artifacts, see what the top card is, because you can play it.
Yeah.
This seems really good.
This is disgusting.
I think you play this in any artifact deck just because it's just that good.
Yeah.
It's really good in an artifact deck where you play multiple artifacts over a turn. But
yeah.
Or artifact decks that have the things that make constant tokens every turn. Right?
Yeah.
Like the ones that make.
Yeah, you're just gonna ping everybody out. Yeah, there's nothing they're gonna be able to do about it.
Yeah, it's similar to Impact Trevers for artifacts.
Yeah, pretty much. And Impact Trevers is such a good card, so yeah, this is very good. Next we got Mirror Style Master. It is 4 red for a 3/3 human warrior creature with backup. And the ability is also whenever this creature attacks, for each attacking modified creature you control, create a tapped and attacking token that's a copy of that creature. Exile those creatures at the end of combat. So you can just keep going, basically.
Yeah, if you have a lot of modified things, you get to attack with those. But whatever you put this on becomes modified because it's giving a 1/1 counter to it.
Yeah.
So
you will have a copy of that.
Yeah, and so you'll get this double swing with something basically for another combo. It seems really good with something like an attack trigger. Like you put this on like an Inferno Titan, get 2 triggers.
Yeah. Oh, gross. Yeah. Do you like bolts, guys?
Yeah. And if they don't kill this on site, you get that every single round. So
yeah.
And if you're playing like a modified deck where you have a lot of stuff that's modified, then it's even better because Oh, swing with everything. All my stuff has a copy that's attacking.
Yeah, you basically double your board.
Like, yeah. Unless it's legendary, then it's like, whatever.
Well, yeah, then you know.
You're just going to keep the one that doesn't exile.
Yeah.
You could also just like, in like an Obeka deck, you could like do this, get all the copies, and then with the stack of exiling the tokens, you could just end the turn. And then you keep them.
Mm-hmm. Also very good.
All right, next up we got Pain Distributor. 2 and a red for a 2/3 Devil Citizen with Menace. Whenever a player casts their first spell each turn, they create a treasure token. Okay. Whenever an artifact an opponent controls is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, Pain Distributor deals 1 damage to that player. Okay, so it makes treasure tokens for everyone, but if your opponents use them, they take damage.
Yeah.
It's also good if you have like a Destroy All Artifacts. After you play
this. You can just totally blow someone up basically with that.
Yep.
It's definitely nice.
Anti artifact X.
Shatterstorm. Oops. You take damage now. Yeah. next we have Path of the Pyromancer. So this is the red one for the. Oh, no, wait. This isn't the enchantment. Never mind. I assumed. Ha ha ha. That's what I get. Path of Pyromancer, it is 4 and a red for a sorcery. Discard all the cards in your hand. Add a mountain for each card discarded this way, then draw that many cards this plus this one. Oh, this is the Plains Chase card. That's what this is. Okay. And then it has the Wheel of the Planeswalkers.
Yeah, so it's a wheel effect, but you draw an extra card and you get a mana for every card you discarded.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
That's not bad.
It's kind of like a Jessica's Wheel effect.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jessica's Wheel only costs 3, but this costs 5. So it's pretty good. I mean, if you have, you know, four or five cards in your hand, it's like it's basically free to draw, discard, and draw an extra card.
Right.
So. And if you're down to like 2 cards, this is like. What, 3 mana? So then it basically is like it's like a wheel for a 3-card draw.
Yeah.
But you get and then 2 mana. You get the mana
to play it.
So that's not bad. So it ends up being like 1 for 1 then.
Yeah. Which isn't bad at all.
So you definitely want at least 2 cards in your hand though. 2-3 cards.
Yeah. Otherwise it's not as worth it. Otherwise, for the cost at least.
Yeah. I mean, because like 5 mana draw, if you have 0 cards in your hand, 5 mana draw 1, add 0 mana. Yeah. Is like
that's whatever. Pretty bad. Yeah.
All right, next up we got Rowan's Talent, which is the red planeswalker enchantment. 2 red for enchant aura, enchant a planeswalker. Change each planeswalker has +1. Up to 1 target creature gets +2/+0 and gains first strike and trample until end of turn. And whenever you activate a loyalty ability of enchanted planeswalker, copy that ability. You may choose new targets for the copy.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah, so the plus ability it gives is the worst part of this card, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The best part is the copy.
The trigger is much better.
Yeah, like put this on like an Ugin, copy the effect.
Especially yes, I'd love to bolt multiple things. Well,
or especially if you're about to like ultimate a planeswalker, you could put this on there and you copy the ult.
So you oh, yeah. Twice. Because yes, emblems do stack, guys.
Yeah.
So, very good.
Seems really good.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the better ones for sure. Just for the trigger ability. Next we got Uncivil Unrest. It is 4 and a red for an enchantment. Non-token creatures you control have Riot, which is they enter the battlefield with your choice of +1/+1 counter or haste. If a creature you control with a +1/+1 counter on it would deal damage to a permanent or player, it deals double the damage instead.
So this seems very good in a like 1/1 counters deck.
Yeah.
Because you can give them an extra 1/1 or just give them haste.
Yeah.
Outside of that, it's like mediocre because like, I mean, giving all your stuff haste or 1/1 is pretty good and making it deal double damage can be good. But it's like, or you could just play the enchantment that gives everything double strike.
Right, yeah, which is so, not 5, I'm guessing.
It might be the same. It might also cost 5, but So it's around there. Like, if you want that kind of effect, this is like another effect of that. But Riot is a really good effect. Like, the other, there's another one, was it a, it's like a 3-mana enchantment that gives all your creatures Riot when they enter.
Right.
So it just doesn't have the bottom part. So it's, is the extra 2 mana worth double damage? Probably is.
Yeah. That can honestly do a lot of damage to somebody. For sure.
It's just, you have to pay 5 mana to do nothing to turn this out if you don't have other 1/1 counter synergy.
Right. Then it's, then it feels pretty bad.
So it's like, take a turn off. Oh, did they not blow it up in the turn cycle? Okay, then I can do something with it.
Yeah. Yeah, you just have to hope.
Yeah, which is why I feel like it's a lot better if you have some sort of synergies in there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's red.
Red seems really good as well.
Yeah, red's got some good stuff.
I feel like all these commander cards are good.
Yeah, very balanced. All the colors seem to be doing some good stuff for sure.
Next up, we're on to your color here, green. It's 5 and a green, the first one, for Conclave Sledge Captain. It's 5 and a green for a 4/4 elephant soldier. It's an elephant with a giant-ass sledgehammer.
Yeah, it's huge.
It has backup 1, backup 1, backup 1. So you trigger the backup 3 separate entities. Times. And each backup is going to give them a 1/1 counter, trample, and then the following abilities till end of turn. Trample, and whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player, put that many +1/+1 counters on it.
Yeah, that's really good.
That's really good, right? Like, I mean, so 6 yeah. mana... Buff 3 creatures +1/+1. If they swing this turn, they have trample. And then if they hit damage, because a lot of people don't like the block tramplers, especially if they're smaller.
They get buffed.
But they get buffed by that many 1/1s.
So that seems really good.
I mean, or you just hit itself with it 3 times and you have a 7/7 trampler that when it deals damage gets 7 counters.
Yeah. That's just...
For 6 mana.
Like, they're going to have to deal with that at that point. Otherwise, they're just going to lose.
I really love the artwork on this card. It's almost like the elephant's carrying the like behemoth sledge.
Yeah, it looks a lot like the behemoth sledge from the old days. Yeah, it's an interesting card. I like it. Next, we got Emergent Woodworm. It is 6 and a green for a 4/4 worm creature with backup 3. So that's a lot of +1/+1 counters again. Whenever, and so then it also has, whenever this creature attacks, look at the top X cards of your library, where X is its power. You may put a permanent card with mana value X or less from among them onto the battlefield. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order.
Well, that seems really good.
Sure does.
So at minimum, you're getting, like, say you put that on another, on a 1/1. You have a 4/4 that swings. You get a 4 CMC thing for free.
Yep.
And then this will have be a 4/4 that does that every turn. Or you throw that on like this or something bigger, and you get a 7 or more when it attacks.
Yeah, so then you're almost guaranteed to hit something at that point.
Seems really good, especially if you want to cheat big things in.
Yeah. Cheating in big things is always fun.
And all you need to like make this good is like a 4/4, and then you're going to hit pretty much every big thing.
Exactly.
5/5 even. Like.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Next up, we got Path of the Animist. It is 3 and a green for a sorcery. Search your library for up to 2 basic land cards, put them on the battlefield tapped, and then shuffle. And then it has Will of the Planeswalkers. So this is basically, what's the 4-mana one that searches right now?
That's like explosive vegetation?
Yeah, explosive vegetation. Yeah. So it's literally explosive vegetation, except for if you're playing Plane Chase, you get the Will of the Planeswalkers.
So yes, that's nice.
if you're playing Plane Chase, you're definitely playing this.
Yeah.
If you're not, you have to decide, do you want a 4-mana ramp spell?
Yeah, which explosive vegetation can be pretty good in the right.
Yeah, but a lot of times you're only playing it in like landfall decks because it does cost 4 mana.
Yeah.
But you do get 2. So
It's
do you want that effect? If you do, you'll put another effect for you to play. If you don't, then you're definitely not playing it.
Yeah, for sure. Next, we got Sandstep War Riders. It is 3 and a green for a 4/4 human warrior creature with trample. At the beginning of combat on your turn, bolster X, where X is the number of differently named artifact tokens you control.
Okay, so you need to make...
Of course, and then bolster is choose a creature with lowest toughness among creatures you control, and put X +1/+1 counters on it.
So you need at least one artifact token for this to do anything. I don't know. It doesn't seem that good to me.
Unless, yeah.
Unless you have the like a deck that's making artifact tokens. Like if you, again, if you're in an artifact deck that's making Thopters and stuff, but a lot of those artifact decks do not play green.
No, green's not a normal color. They're usually playing blue or something like that.
Yeah, like blue, red, sometimes white. So it seems interesting. I'm sure there's some sort of artifact. Green artifact deck that like black green artifacts like Gitrog or something maybe that would play this.
Yeah,
it's still good though, right? Like 4/4/4/4 trample. But again, you're only going to play this if you can take effect of that bottom part. If you can't, then you're, it's just a vanilla 4/4/4 trample for four.
Yeah, which is
like meh.
Okay, yeah, it's not great for sure.
Next up, we got Vivian's Talent, which is the green enchantment aura. It's 1 green-green for an aura with Enchant Planeswalker. Enchanted Planeswalker gets +1. Look at the top 4 cards of your library. You may reveal a creature or land card from among them and put it into your hand. Then put the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. And then it also gets the static ability. Whenever a non-token creature enters the battlefield under your control, put a loyalty counter on the Enchanted Planeswalker.
Oh, God.
So the bottom part is the good part there. Like,
yeah, it is.
Play a bunch of creatures, get a bunch of counters.
You get counters, yeah.
Seems really good in like an elf deck.
Yeah.
Just put this on like Nissa or the other elf planeswalker. Was it Freylis? And then just like, okay, yeah. I'm getting a bunch of counters on here. Haha.
Yeah, this is this can just be nasty for sure.
This is another pretty good one because it only costs 3.
Yeah.
And honestly, so far I think they're all good.
Yeah, honestly.
So, like, if you're playing a Super Friends deck, you might just play all 5 in your deck.
Yeah, you probably want them, honestly. Especially if you're playing
a 5-color Super Friends.
All right. So, green, pretty good.
I think green's every card in green's good other than that bolster card's a little weird.
That bolster card's okay. It's not great. But.
Yeah. All right, well, what do we got for what's next? Is it multicolored?
Yeah, we are in a multicolored now.
Now we get to the fun stuff.
Yes, the really, really fun stuff. So the first multicolored card we have is Flock Chaser Phantom. It is 4 white-blue for a 5/5 creature, spirit creature with Convoke. Flying Vigilance. Whenever Flock Chaser Phantom attacks, the next spell you cast this turn has Convoke.
Yeah, so it seems good because you could just tap you know a bunch of creatures to pay for this or reduce the cost of it. And then
yeah, it's definitely it
has
not bad.
Flying Vigilance, so you can attack with it, give the next spell Convoke, and then also tap itself to Convoke whatever you're casting.
Yeah, yeah.
So they definitely had to make it cost 6 because the convocability would be way too good otherwise.
Yeah, for sure.
So realistically, this probably costs 2 to 4 mana and tapping a couple creatures, which is for a 5/5 with Flying Vigilance, and the ability to give other stuff Convoke, which seems very good.
Yes. Just, again, as we said earlier, Convoke is a very underrated ability, and it can be really, really good in the right kind of deck.
Definitely has to be a creature-based deck, though.
Yeah.
Next up, we got the Mistmeadow Vanisher. It is 2 and a hybrid, white or blue, for a 3/2 Kithkin Wizard. Whenever Mistmeadow Vanisher becomes tapped, exiled to one Target non-land, non-token permanent. Return that card to the battlefield under its owner's control at the beginning of the next end step. So you can attack, blink your own thing, which is cool, or you can attack and remove a blocker, and then they get it back on their end step.
Nice.
Oh, no, on your end step. But anyways, you can remove a blocker, or you can remove your, flicker your own thing, which is cool. It's cool as an attack trigger, or it becomes tapped, actually. So it triggers on attack, or if you have another way to tap it, or if you use it to convoke.
Yeah, which there's plenty of cards that do that.
So seems really good with like a tap untapping ability.
Because you just flicker. Yeah, just blink, blink, flicker, blink, blink. It's just, yeah, that's just gross. Next we got Vodalion Wave Knight. It is 2 white-blue for a 3/3 Merfolk Knight creature. Whenever you draw a card, put a +1/+1 counter on each other Merfolk and or Knight you control.
Merfolk Knight Tribal, let's go! White, yes. white-blue Merfolk Knights.
Azorius Knight Merfolk Tribal? Okay. Sure.
It's definitely interesting. It's good in those type of decks, otherwise it is terrible.
Yeah, otherwise it doesn't do anything.
Because it's other knights. It doesn't even, it doesn't include itself. Like if it was like, oh, put it on yourself. So
right.
And I believe if you have a Merfolk Knight creature, you get 2 1/1s.
Yeah.
I believe that's how it works. So if you have like a changeling, you get 2 1/1s.
Yeah. Yep, that's how it works in the other scenarios, so it makes sense.
Next up, we got Brimaz, Blight of Oreskos. It is 2 white and a black for a 3/4 legendary creature, Phyrexian Cat. So it's like evil Brimaz.
Yeah, it's the Phyrexian Brimaz. Sweet. Yeah.
So whenever you cast a Phyrexian creature or an artifact spell, you incubate X, where X is that spell's mana value. And at the beginning of each end step, if a Phyrexian died under your control this turn, proliferate.
Ooh.
So that seems really good, especially as a commander for like a black-white Phyrexian deck. Or like, you know, if it dies, you can just proliferate, which is nice because you make the incubate tokens bigger, or if you have other counters in the deck, you can add those.
For sure.
I think this would be a sweet commander, just to make a Phyrexian tribal.
Yeah, Phyrexian tribal commander. It's definitely not bad. Definitely, and it's not too expensive for that.
Yeah, it's only 4 mana, and the artwork is freaking sick.
Yeah, this artwork's amazing.
Like evil Brimaz. He looks
badass.
Like, this is the Brimaz I want fighting next to me with this big ass sword.
Heck yeah. Like, huge, like, almost looks like the Buster Sword. It's pretty close. Yeah. It's like the mini Buster Sword. So yeah, that's a cool card. I like that one. Next up, we got Moira and Teshar. It is 3 white-black for a 4/5 legendary Phyrexian spirit board creature with flying. Whenever you cast historic spell, return target non-land permanent card from your graveyard to the battlefield. It gains haste. Exile it at the beginning of the next end step. If it would leave the battlefield, exile it instead of putting it anywhere else.
So it's definitely pretty good because you can get your historic, like, non-land permanent cards, I mean, back from the battlefield if you're playing a historic deck, which is like Legendaries Matter, which is a decent type of deck.
Yep.
Or an artifact or a saga. So. Seems fun.
Yeah, not bad. Yeah, this could be a fun kind of deck to play.
You definitely want to build the deck around cards that are good to bring back and swing for one turn. So maybe like something with attack triggers or ETB triggers.
Unearth kind of style for sure.
Yep.
That's kind of what you're going for there.
Next up, we got Cutthroat Negotiator. It's 2 blue and a red, so is it, for a 4/3 Orc Pirate with Parlay. Whenever Cutthroat Negotiator attacks, each player reveals the top card of their library. For each non-land card revealed this way, you create a tapped treasure token, and then each player draws that card. So Parlay is back on this
game. Yeah, there you go.
And the cool thing is he's a pirate, and Parlay is a pirate thing.
It is indeed. If Pirates of the Caribbean taught me anything, parlay is a thing. Yes.
So everyone draws, and you get some treasure tokens for non-lands.
Yep.
It's not pretty bad. Good. It's a 4-3 for four.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty decent.
It's a decent card.
All right. Next, we got Wildfire Awakener. It is X, 1, and Boros, red-white, for a 3-2 human wizard creature with Convoke. When Wildfire Awakener enters the battlefield, create X11 red elemental creature tokens with whenever this creature becomes tapped, it deals 1 damage to target player.
Yeah, so you dump all your mana into this and tap all of your creatures to make a bunch of 1/1 pingers.
Yeah, not bad.
Seems sure. Pretty good, especially for 3.
It seems good to me, too.
Next up, we got Alinda and Azor. It's 3 white, blue, black for a 6/6 legendary creature, Vampire Knight Sphinx. It's flying and ward 2. Whenever Alinda and Azor attacks, you may pay X, white, blue, black. If you do, draw X cards. At the beginning of each end step, you may pay 4 life. If you do, create a number of 1/1 black Vampire Knight creature tokens with lifelink equal to the number of cards you've drawn this turn.
Wow. Okay.
So that's bonkers, right? Like, that so is when it attacks, you pay X and 3 to draw its cards. And at end step, you could just pay 4 life, make 1/1 Vampire Knights with lifelink, depending on how many cards you've drawn. So it's definitely like a draw a bunch of cards with other effects, probably.
Yeah,
and you can attack.
It's just going to feed into this.
Yeah, and you can attack it with itself if you don't have any other draw effects at the time, and then you pay the 4 life for a bunch of lifelink tokens.
Yeah. This can just get out of hand really freaking fast, for sure. So.
And the ward 2 is nice because it costs people 2 extra mana to kill it.
Yeah, makes it harder to deal with. Definitely what you want with something like this. Next, we got Sidar Jabari and Zalfir. It is 1 white, blue, black for a legendary creature, human knight. It has, and it's a 4/3. It has eminence. Whenever you attack with 1 or more knights, if Sidar Jabari of Zalfir is in the command zone or on the battlefield, draw a card, then discard a card. It has flying and first strike. Whenever Sidar Jabari deals combat damage to a player, return target knight creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield.
So eminence was one of the more broken effects in Commander.
Yeah.
The good news is they just made it a loot trigger, which isn't that busted.
Yeah, it's a lot better.
but knight tribal commander for black, blue, white, which is interesting. Because normally you got red in there.
That's Esper, yeah.
Or just Esper, black, white.
Human knight.
So that's pretty cool.
Interesting. Yeah.
It's like a fun deck. Especially since it brings creatures back, which is all my jam.
Yeah, you love doing that, don't you?
Someone was like, "Do you have any?" Someone asked me the day, "Do you have any decks where you don't have like a reanimate effect or an effect that brings something back from the graveyard in your deck?" And I don't.
Very rare. No,
like, I don't even know if I have one because I'm like, even in like my mono green deck, I have like Reclaim and stuff.
Yeah,
at least puts it in my hand.
And that's a good or E-Witness.
Yeah. So, all right. Next up, we got Gorogoro and Saturo. It is blue, black, red, so Grixis, for a 3/4 legendary creature, goblin human. Whenever 1 or more creatures you control that entered the battlefield this turn deal combat damage to a player, create a 5/5 red dragon spirit creature token with flying, and it has pay 1 and a red. Creatures you control gain haste until end of turn. So it's play creatures, give them haste, swing, make 5/5s.
Make 5/5s. Seems fun. All for 3 mana. Not bad. Not bad at all.
I mean, 5 mana if you want to swing with this. Like a 5/5.
Right. Well, yeah. 5 if you're swinging with it right away. For
sure. It's also interesting to note that it's just whenever 1 or more deals damage, you get a 5/5. So it's not like you get a 5/5 for every creature that hits. So you just need to hit with 1. So this might be Even better way to go about it is just play with those one drop unblockable dudes.
Oh, yeah. Just,
like, play it, give it haste, swing, get a 5/5. You know, so that's kind of, that could work.
For sure.
I mean, you need to draw a bunch of them because like, you need to play it every turn to do that. Or flicker it so then you can attack with it again and get entered this turn. So
yeah. Yeah, and that's got potential for sure. Next up, we got Slimefoot and Squee. It is Jund, or black, red, green, for a 3/3 legendary fungus goblin creature. Whenever Slimefoot and Squee enters the battlefield or attacks, create a 1/1 green separating creature token. And then you can also pay one in Jund, or one black, red, green, for and sacrifice a sapperling. Return Slimefoot and Squee and up to one other target creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield. Activate only as a sorcery.
Yeah, so the Squee part is the returning to the battlefield. Sapperling part is the Slimefoot part. This is definitely interesting because this commander, you basically, as long as you have saplings in play, you never have to put it back in the command zone. You just be like, all right, let's go in the graveyard, pay 4 sack of sapling, get this back, and the other best creature in the graveyard back.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and the fact that it also grabs something else is actually really good for that cost.
Yeah, you're basically just switching your sapling for something better.
Yeah, totally. Can't complain. Like a, and yeah, like and a that's a good way to get around the commander cost. Yep. Command zone cost.
Definitely seems like a fun deck.
Yeah, for sure.
Next up,
Lots of recursion.
Next up, we got Bright Palm Soul Awakener. It is 1 and Naya, which is red, green, white, for a 4/3 legendary creature, Fox Shaman, with backup 1. And the ability is whenever this creature attacks, double the number of +1/+1 counters on target creature, that creature can't be blocked by creatures of power 2 or less this turn.
Ooh, gross.
Yeah, so you make your stuff bigger, double the number of counters on it to make it even bigger.
And then they can't block it. And then
they can't block it with weak stuff.
Yeah. That's pretty good, I'd say. Seems
very good.
Yeah, especially this is like a commander. Like, that could be fun.
Definitely be fun. Especially if you play that like Hydra that doubles its counters every turn, and then when it attacks, you're doubling the counters.
Oh my gosh! Again, they can't block it. It's just like want.
Well, they can't block it with power. At least with
they can't like chump it, basically.
Yeah,
that's something small. That's silly. next up, we got Shalai and Halar. It is 1 and Naya, red, green, white, for a 3/3 legendary creature that's an angel elf. As flying and vigilance, whenever one or more +1/+1 counters are put on a creature you control, Shalai and Halar deals that much damage to target opponent.
Yeah, so put 1/1 counters on something, deal damage to opponents, face them. Seems really good in a 1/1 counter deck.
Not bad at all. Decent stats, too. Flying Vigilance, 3/3. Not bad.
Next up, we got Katilda and Lear, which is green, white, blue for a 3/3 legendary creature human. Whenever you cast a human spell, target instant or sorcery card in your graveyard gains flashback until end of turn. The flashback cost is equal to its mana cost. So basically, every human spell you cast becomes a Snapcaster Mage.
Yeah, that's just okay.
Seems very good for a human tribal.
Just play a little bit.
Human tribal with, I don't know, hand. You still want to play more instant sorceries, so, I don't know, play like 20 creatures or something, 25, and the rest instant sorceries and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Seems like a fun deck.
For sure. Seems good to me. Let's see. Next up, we got Gimbal Gremlin Prodigy. It is 2 green, blue, red for a 4/4 artifact or legendary gremlin artificer creature. Artifact creatures you control have trample. At the beginning of your end step, create a 0/0 red gremlin artifact creature token. Put X +1/+1 counters on it, where X is the number of differently named artifact tokens you control.
So again, you need to be making artifact tokens. But I guess at minimum, it makes a 1/1 with trample. Yeah. And it does give all your artifact creatures trample. So this is artifact creature deck, make thopters, make all that kind of stuff. Seems good.
Yeah, seems pretty good, especially if it's creature-based. I mean, and there's plenty of things that can make them creatures, too. So it's definitely not bad.
Next up, we got Rashimi and Ragavan. That is 1GB/RB for a 2/4 legendary creature elf monkey. Whenever you cast your first spell during each of your turns, exile the top card of a target opponent's library and create a treasure token. Then you may cast the exile card without paying its mana cost if it's a spell with mana value less than the number of artifacts you control. If you don't cast it this way, you may cast it this turn. So you can cast it for free if it's under the number of artifacts you control. Otherwise, you can just cast it for mana.
Okay.
Seems really good.
That does seem really good.
Just make an artifact deck and just start casting your opponent's stuff for free.
Why not? That's just gross.
That is gross. And worst case, you get a treasure token out of it. You don't cast it.
Which is also not bad.
Yeah. That seems like a sweet deck.
Yeah, that's just gotta be it's gonna be annoying to play against for sure. Next we got Castla the Broken Halo. It is 3 and Jeskai, or blue, red, white, for a 5/4 legendary angel ally creature with convoke, flying, vigilance, haste. Whenever you cast another spell that has convoke, scry 2. Then draw a card.
Yeah, so
this is convoke, really playing into Convoke here.
Yeah, holy convoke, crap. Convoke Tribal Commander. I'm pretty sure this is the leader of one of the Commander decks that is like a Convoke deck. So definitely, if you want to build a Convoke deck, this is the Commander.
Yeah.
The Scry ability is good. And just the fact that your Commander has Convoke can help you cheat it out even when the Commander tax gets really high.
Yeah, it gets out of hand, which it tends to do, especially with something higher cost. Which this one is definitely a higher cost spell card, but the cool keywords concept. Are also quite nice for sure.
Yeah, it's a very cool concept card and a very cool creature. I hope they keep making commanders the new themes. Like here, you can make a convoke deck.
Yeah,
I don't really think I had a commander before, so
not really. No, definitely does now.
Next up, we got Saint Traft and Rem Carlos. Which is blue, red, white, Jeskai for a 3/4 legendary creature, spirit human. Whenever Saint Traft and Rem Carlos become tapped, create a 1/1 red human creature token. If this is the first time this ability is resolved this turn. If it's the second time, create a 1/1 blue spirit creature token with flying. And if it's the third time, create a 4/4 white angel creature token with flying. And whenever you cast a spell that has convoke, untap Saint Traft and Rem.
Oh, God. Okay.
So this seems really good with tap untap abilities because you can make a 1/1, then a 1/1 flyer, then a 4/4 flyer. And then it's good in that convoke deck because you can keep untapping it.
Exactly.
Seems good. And we know the 4/4 angel part is from Geist of Saint Traft.
Yeah. Geist of Saint Traft is such a good card. So, yeah, it's definitely there. very well plays into convoke, and definitely like to see that. And finally for multicolor, we have Begin the Invasion. It is X Wooburg, so all 5 and X for a sorcery. Search your library for up to X battle cards with different names. Put them onto the battlefield, then shuffle.
Yeah, so this,
throw all the battles out.
If you want to put up all the battles in your deck, you can go ahead and do that, and then you can search for them and play them.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you're not playing battles, don't play this card.
Yeah, this is not good for you. It is useless.
Lots of very powerful multicolor cards, huh?
Yeah, it's very similar to how like the main set was with the, some of these like
the
spliced
mashups.
Together cards. Yeah, the mashups. A lot of good stuff here, and then even like the ones that aren't like that are still really good.
Yep. I definitely think that Saint Treft and Rem deck could be cool with a tap untap deck. Just like don't even care about the Convoke stuff. I mean, you could put some Convoke spells in, but like just like tapping and untapping abilities seem cool.
Right.
All right, so on to artifacts. First one we got here is Bitterthorn Nissa's Animus. 3 mana for a legendary artifact equipment that's a living weapon, so it gets the Phyrexian Germ token on it, equipped to it, which is equipped creature gets +1/+1, and whenever equipped creature attacks, you may search your library for a basic land card and put it onto the battlefield tapped, then shuffle, and the equip cost is 3. So it's kind of like Sword of the Animist, except for the Sword of the Animist put it into play, like put it in your hand. I don't remember. So it's kind of like Sword of the Animist, but you also get a 1/1 Germ token out of it. So it's good that you get the 1/1 that can just attack, do that, and then if it dies, you get equip it to something else.
Yeah, so that makes the equip 3 not as bad.
Yeah.
Because you have to pay 3 and then pay 3 to equip it, like that would not be great.
I definitely would play this in like a landfall deck, or if you're playing like white or a red, like a color that doesn't have a ton of mana ramp.
Yeah, where you really need it. That definitely makes sense for that. And finally, our other artifact card is Ichor Elixir. It is 4 for an artifact. If you would roll 1 or more planar dice, instead roll that many planar dice +1 and ignore 1. And then it has tap, add to waste. So here's another plane chase card.
So if you're playing plane chase, this is good because you get to roll like with advantage.
Roll,
take the better one. If you're not, it's a 4 mana tap, add 2, which is an okay rock.
Okay, it's not as good, but
it's like a Thran Dynamo, right? If that had 2 or 3. 2, I think
it's 2.
So it's playable. You might play this, but if you play Plane Chase, you're definitely playing it.
Yeah, it's very good for Plane Chase. It gives you a huge edge. Well, that's the set for Commander.
Yeah, seems really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, all the colors are pretty solid, and the multicolor is just crazy. So, just like the last set, or the main set was. So. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, thanks for sticking around and watching. And remember, if you want to support us, you can by using the TCG Player affiliate link when you go to pick up some of these cards, or supporting us on Patreon. But until next time, we'll see you later.
Have a good night. Thanks for the support.